we continue. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. So we're going to be joined by Ryan Wood, who covers the Packers, coming up 20 minutes from now. Dwight Freeney will join us an hour 20 from now. And then in the final hour of the show, Tony Pauline, who's at the Combine, will stop by as well. But the biggest story today is Brian Gutekunst did address reporters, and he said when asked if he wants Rodgers back, quote, he's a great player, but until we have those conversations, I think all options are on the table. We need to have those conversations. We want what is best for the Packers, what is best for him. So we'll get to that coming up in close quotes. Hickey, if we had to put that through the BS meter, what is Brian Gutekunst actually trying to say? Like, I will be the reporter. You be honest Brian Gutekunst, not lying Brian Gutekunst. I actually flowed pretty well.
That was good. No lying Brian.
All right, lying Brian. We're on to you. Okay. You're going to be Gutekunst, though. Lion Brian, Zach Gelb here, CBS Sports Radio. Do you want Aaron Rodgers back as your quarterback?
Well, great question there, Zach. The answer is no. We've gone all in. We paid him a gajillion dollars,
pause.
What do we get for it?
Whenever you're in an interview and someone says, that's a great question, you know how I interpret that? That means, A, they either don't want to answer the question, or B, they don't know how to answer the question. So I need you to just go back, even though I thank you for appreciating my question. It means a lot to me. I want the honest Brian Gutekunst. You know the answer. All right, ready? We'll try this again. Lion Brian, Zach Gelb here from CBS Sports Radio. Do you want Aaron Rodgers back as your quarterback?
You know, Zach, I'm really happy you asked me that question. Absolutely not.
Wait,
no
pause, 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 pause. Whenever you do an interview and someone says, I'm happy you asked that, don't you usually think they're not happy that you asked that?
Oh, no, I think so. I think they're ready. Well, it depends. It depends the tone and the kind of question.
Hey, Aaron Donald, why'd you swing that helmet at someone this offseason? I'm happy you asked that. All right. I'll stop being a jackass. All right. Lion Brian, Zach Gelb here from CBS Sports Radio. Do you want Aaron Rodgers back as your quarterback next year?
What have we got recently with him, Zach? The answer is no. We've gotten early playoff exits, embarrassed by the Lions recently. It is time for the future. I am done. It's Jordan Love time. Aaron, thanks, but see you later.
I think you're 100% accurate. He does not want him back anymore. And then the better question is, does Rodgers want to go back? Because that's when it gets ugly for the Packers organization. If Rodgers doesn't play nice and he just says, I'm good. I want to stay in Green Bay. Because you know the Packers don't want him back. And from everything that you kind of read and just hear and the way that Rodgers has answered questions so far, it doesn't appear like Aaron wants to be there anymore. But Hickey, it will be fascinating to see how they would navigate those waters if Rodgers comes back to them and Rodgers says, oh, I want to stay in Green Bay. Like, I'm going to be a pain in the you-know-what. And I'm going to make this very difficult for you where you're basically going to be the ones where you're kicking me out. Because we talked about this earlier. For Gutekunst, you want Rodgers to say, I don't want to be here anymore, because then it's, all right, what else was I supposed to do? I had to trade him. Like, we gave him the extension. But if you're Rodgers, I don't think he usually cares what people think about him. But in this case, do you want to upset some of the fan base potentially by saying, I'm done, I'm out, I don't want to be here anymore? Like, if you're getting a divorce, and if both sides want the divorce, I think you want the other side to take more blame than you and be the ones that people point the finger to and go, oh, they wanted to drive him out of town. So I wonder if maybe that's why Aaron Rodgers is waiting a little bit. He knows what the Packers want to do. He's fine with it, but he doesn't want to be perceived as the bad guy here by some of the fan base.
I mean, that would make sense, considering this is a guy that you would most would call sensitive to criticism. He saw firsthand also Brett Favre's exit from Green Bay and how that did not go over smoothly whatsoever. Vowed that that will not happen to him. Ironically enough, almost the same exact career arc is playing out right in front of our eyes. So I would agree with that he is trying to, in a way, be conscious of not trying to be the bad guy here and make the Packers look bad.
It's weird. Rodgers, like, is sensitive, but he also kind of isn't. Like, there are some things that I think he legitimately does not care what people think about him. And he says what he says, and that's what he operates under. But then there are moments where he'll just bring them up randomly and people be like, oh, that's him fighting back. But then it does come off as sensitive. Does that make sense to you?
Yes. And that's the thing. Like, he reads everything. He listens to everything. So he clearly lets it bother him. Like you said, he may not react in the moment.
Yeah.
He doesn't really tweet. But when he's on a safe space like Pat McAfee show and he knows he won't get any pushback, that's when he likes to vent and say whatever he wants. He doesn't really go on any other traditional shows because he's afraid to get, you know, people follow-up questions or pushback of what he's saying. The reason why he only does certain interviews.
I actually think Rodgers would enjoy a healthy back-and-forth kind of conversation.
I don't know. He seems like one of those guys that this is the way it is. I'm telling you, don't ask any questions. That's the vibe I get.
Okay.
With whatever he wants to talk about.
Now, I will say, when you look at Rodgers to Durant, like, Durant does something very similar, but then also very different. Like, people always call Durant sensitive. I do it as well. You're right. Rodgers does it in more of a controlled space when he does his fighting back. Durant, for whatever the reasons are, doesn't do it in a controlled space, really doesn't do a ton of interviews besides, like, whatever he's producing or after the games where he's required to do something. He does his fighting probably in the worst place to do your fighting. That is in an uncontrolled space and in an absolute cesspool in Twitter when 90% of the people that are tweeting you are just trying to get a reaction out of one Kevin Durant and are just trying to annoy you and tick you off, Hickey.
And he, as they say, takes the bait almost every time.
Oh.
He can't sit one out. Doesn't matter if it's an egg face or a check mark or a Twitter blue paid subscription to get verified. He responds to everybody.
And you know what he does? He does the whole thing of, like, whenever people say he's sensitive and why are you responding to those trolls, and people like you say, oh, he does it all the time, which you're right, it does feel that way. He'll go, oh, do you know how many tweets I get? Like, I only respond to 15 people, like, you know, every 2 weeks or something like that. Once again, shows the sensitivity there, too.
Have you ever seen his Twitter profile picture?
Off the top of my head, I can't remember what the Durant Twitter profile picture is.
I think it explains a lot once you see it. Now, it's a cartoon, I think, from a movie, but it's a guy smiling with all swords basically held up to his throat. Basically making it seem like he's the innocent one and everyone is out to attack him, which would make sense based on how you see Kevin Durant tweeting.
Now, you know what's funny? I've never really done as, and I don't follow Durant anymore. That must have been out of rage when he requested a trade.
Boom, the notification, he's traded. Next one, boom, notification, unfollow.
Him and Giselle Bundchen.
Although if Giselle asks you on a date, oh, of course, Giselle.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Hill.
If Durant wants to come on the show, oh, KD.
Six rings, never heard of him.
I didn't realize that I unfollowed you. I had a media member. I'll keep the media member nameless, if you even still want to call this person a media member. About a year ago, person reached out to me. Hey, did I do anything to offend you? Saw you unfollowed me on Twitter. And I unfollowed this person because I was just tired of seeing their tweets just bitching and complaining about the industry. So I responded back, oh, didn't realize it. Totally my mistake. My bad. Must have just happened. And I gave him a follow back and then right away did the quick mute. So I didn't have to see them again.
I was going to say, I'm a big muter. I figured I'd avoid the confrontation of having to unfollow someone and
it takes a lot for me to block you on Twitter. I don't block a lot of people unless you're like stalking me or sending death threats and things along those lines. I have now elected to mute, I don't want to say a lot of people, but a decent amount of people. You know, I have a pretty easy standard for me. Like if you just tell me, hey, you suck. All right, I'm not going to mute you. I'm not going to block you. But if you start to get personal, then it's a little bit different. But for this person, I don't know. Maybe I just let it slip through the cracks where I was just like so annoyed with just, they were just all the, every tweet was like, oh, you know, this is the media industry, the media world right now, blah, 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 blah. And all this person really wants to do is get back into the media world. I was like, enough of this person. I don't need to see this person anymore. And then I got a DM one day, like 5 months after it happened too, Hickey. Hey, did I do something to offend you? Nah, we're all good. It's all good. Refollow you, then mute.
Who also checks their like follow, unfollow? Like
a lot of people.
I know there's a way to do it, but like that's also pathetic. Like one person unfollowed me randomly recently. Well, and then you have to go confront them. That's pathetic.
So the thing that I also find amusing, when you unfollow someone, if you then check it on their profile, how quickly does it take for them to unfollow you back?
I mean, look, for me, I don't check. I just sometimes see the numbers move, but I have no idea who's unfollowing. So it's, I guess you get a free unfollow.
Gotcha.
But I guess if I did know, I would definitely unfollow probably.
Did you realize that I unfollowed you on Twitter?
No. Why would you do that?
No, I didn't actually unfollow you on Twitter.
I was going to say. Jeez. No.
The only two people that I unfollowed recently was Gisele Bündchen because she broke up with Tom Brady. But Gisele, if you still want to go on a date, you know, I'd follow you back. And then I guess
accept the date.
And then I guess Kevin Durant. I don't remember unfollowing anyone else.
I'm shocked KD didn't come after you.
Yeah. Ooh, I just got a DM.
Yo, bro.
Oh, it's not
for problem.
I literally just got a DM as I was saying this. It had nothing to do with this conversation. I thought this was going to be from this person. Oh, so you're talking about me now on the radio?
That would be pretty crazy.
Yeah, you never know. I would not put it past this certain person.
Huh. Do you think he knows? I guess if you say, hey, you reached out to him. So I guess you kind of specified a little bit enough to where if the person was listening, they would be able to figure out, oh, he's talking about me.
Person's pretty clueless anyway.
Okay, so maybe.
Now, also to be fair. The person I just went to, his or her profile, has like 20-something thousand followers. The fact that they realize that I unfollowed him or her is kind of crazy.
I agree. Again, at that point, it should not matter.
Yeah.
But to some people, it does.
And part of me, I just wanted to respond back like, you're just so negative. I didn't want to see it anymore.
And that's it. Just tweets are annoying, man. Yeah. Especially for people that tweet all the time. It's like, all right, enough. I don't want to see this clogging up my feed 24/7. Yeah.
Anyway, back to Aaron Rodgers. I think it's pretty clear that the Packers want to move on and he wants to move on. Who's going to blink first? That's the big question. I'm also ready for this relationship to end. Like, Hickey, you don't see a way, even if he stays, that there is a good ending here where Aaron Rodgers just bare minimum, even in a weak NFC, gets back to a Super Bowl.
Correct. Yeah, that ship has sailed.
So at this point, we hear all this talk about Jordan Love ever since he got drafted back in 2020. I'm ready to see Jordan Love play. Because that was the thing. When he was drafted, it was, ooh, you traded up to get him. We didn't even know if he was going to be a first-round pick. And I know that after, what, like a half or a quarter against the Eagles, the Eagles, Darius Big Play Slay, was raving about Jordan Love and think he's going to be a really good quarterback. Like, I'm intrigued to see if this guy has what it takes. We talked about this ad nauseum the last 3 years, and we've dissected it from every angle. You're not in a position to go win a Super Bowl right now. Could you go make the playoffs next year? Yeah, and wouldn't that be something? Love first year takes the Packers to the playoffs when Rodgers failed to get to the playoffs a year ago? Like, that would be... I'm just ready to see Rodgers go somewhere else, Hickey, and then also Jordan Love get that baton past him and see if he could be the real deal or not. Like, I want to see Love play for 2 years.
I'm with you. I'm 100% with you. I want an answer on Jordan Love. He's been a big mystery slash question mark in the even, you know, leading up to the draft when he was drafted by the Packers. What the hell is he? I have no idea. I want to see... And yeah, I'm kind of for Aaron Rodgers, sick of this whole thing, and I'm ready just to see something new, something different, whether it's the Jets, Dolphins, Raiders, wherever. Yeah. I'm ready for a new change of scenery for him.
And even though Brock Purdy was looking pretty awesome this year, and he was rocking out with his Brock out, I'm kind of ready to see Trey Lance. Like, those two quarterbacks, we've heard so much about Trey Lance and Jordan Love. We've barely seen Jordan Love play. And Trey Lance, I know, was only his second year in the league last year, but he was finally going to be the guy, and then he gets hurt early in the season. I'm ready to see what Trey Lance and also Jordan Love could do and just start to get those answers. Because I don't also, let me be clear, if they're horrible in their first year as a starter, I'm not going to, after 1 year, go, oh, it's over, it's done, like a lot of people will do. I want to see both those guys play for 2 years. And there's a lot more... I think there's a lot more pressure on Trey Lance because even though both teams moved up to go get their guys, the 49ers gave up so much more, and the 49ers are ready to win. They're ready to go win a Super Bowl. Green Bay, if Love is started next year, if you're the most optimistic Packers fan in the world, I think you would just say, all right, let's just make the playoffs. For the 49ers, regardless of who your quarterback is, you were in the NFC title game last year. And if you weren't a fan of Jimmy G, you got to a Super Bowl with Jimmy G and another NFC title game. So there's going to be Super Bowl expectations once again in a weak NFC for the 49ers. So for both those guys, I'm hoping Rodgers gets traded so we could see Love play and hopefully he doesn't get hurt. And then for Trey Lance, I want to see if he's going to be able to rebound. And there keep on being delays with this eventual procedure with Brock Purdy. So it's all set up for Trey Lance to be the starter in San Francisco. And everything I read and everything I think is it's setting up for the Packers to trade Aaron Rodgers this offseason and hand that baton over to Jordan Love. We'll do the QB carousel next. We'll take a stop with the Green Bay Packers. Ryan Wood, who covers the team, will join us next.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. The Super Bowl is over, but the NFL quarterback carousel is just beginning.
You gotta ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky?
What does the future hold for all 32 NFL teams at the QB position?
Now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to spin this wheel right here.
Let's spin the wheel and find out which teams we hit today. The Green Bay Packers.
All right, Ryan Wood, who covers the Packers for USA Today, is going to join us in just a second. But first, let's hear from Brian Gutekunst, the general manager of the Green Bay Packers, when he was asked today at the Combine if he wants Aaron Rodgers back next season.
Yeah, I think, you know, those discussions have to happen and making sure that it's the right fit. But obviously we know the kind of player that Aaron is. And, you know, once we had those conversations, we'll be able to move forward. We'll have more to say.
All right, Ryan Wood from USA Today. When you hear that, if I'm in the camp of I want Aaron Rodgers back in Green Bay, that doesn't sound all that encouraging to me.
Well, what word there did you not hear? And just a hint, it's a word that you did hear in early December when Brian Gutekunst spoke to us media folk here in Green Bay. It was asked the same question. Do you want Aaron Rodgers back? In December, he said, yeah. Now he qualified it with, we want all our players back. So it wasn't exactly a thumping, ringing endorsement. But what word you didn't hear there was yes. He didn't say yes. He said all options. Now, to be fair, one of the options, if all options are on the table, is Aaron Rodgers coming back to the Packers next season. But that all options completely opens the door to a trade this offseason. It's going to be a wild ride here over the next couple weeks.
The last 2 years, I remained in the camp that he wasn't getting traded. This year, I absolutely think he will get dealt. Where do you stand on this one?
I've had that feeling since really before the end of the season. Look, he was a 39-year-old quarterback last year who had the worst year of his career. Since he was a starter in 2008, he's never been less productive than he was in 2022. He turns 40 next season. Oh, by the way, he also had three injuries. He had a broken thumb on his throwing hand. He played through lower body injuries. Usually 39-year-old quarterbacks that show decline and have injury problems don't get better. They don't heal up at this stage in their career. They don't turn it around. That's Father Time's undefeated. I think in hindsight, you're going to see that a year ago might have been the perfect marker. I mean, every franchise with a franchise quarterback always has to balance when is the right time to say goodbye, and it's so difficult to do in this league because franchise quarterbacks are obviously worth their weight in gold. You don't ever want to be leaving one too soon, but you get in trouble if you leave one too late. The playoff loss to San Francisco 2 seasons ago, not being able to get into the end zone, putting points on the board after having an opening drive touchdown, a game that was at home, there to win, it felt like that might have been the time, but they held on for another year. And in hindsight, I wonder if they're going to look at history and think they held on a year too late.
When do you think we'll get this answer by? I know Rodgers is so unpredictable. It seems like the Packers want to trade him but don't want to be the ones that say that right away. Like, is this going to get resolved in the next 2 weeks, you think, or are we in for a long wait here?
And Brian Gutekunst said very clearly today that he wants it done by the start of free agency. He wants a resolution so that this team isn't hung out to dry and held hostage by its quarterback. That would be March 15th. So, it's now. Coming out of Indy, it's going to be the highest alert to see what happens. If anything, you know, Aaron Rodgers has gone into the darkness. He's in the light now. He's gone through his process. There should be no more figuring out on his end. He should have that clarity. The Packers, they've been preparing for whatever scenario takes place for years now. I mean, it's not like this is just sprung up on them. It's been going back to the summer of 2020 or the summer of 2021 where Aaron Rodgers initially had the rift with the team, and it's been like this every offseason since then. So there's nothing new from their end. It is something that should get resolved quite quickly.
I think a lot of people are of the thinking right now that Rodgers is done with Green Bay and the Packers are done with him. But what happens if Rodgers goes to Brian Gutekunst and says, I still want to be on this team? Does that mean he'll definitely be back, or will they still look to trade him?
One of the qualifiers that Brian Gutekunst also put on an Aaron Rodgers return today was restructuring his contract. And if you're not familiar, Aaron Rodgers' contract is an albatross. There's no question about it. He's owed almost $60 million if he was to come back and play for the Packers in 2023 and not retire. And one of the ways that they could restructure that, because he's not taking less money, nor should he. Aaron Rodgers taking a pay cut's not happening. But they could put another voidable year on his contract that already has two voidable years. So, yeah, I mean, we're talking about financing the credit card way of paying off a quarterback. But that's one option. The other thing that Brian Gutekunst said today, and he was the most definitive on this, it's time for Jordan Love to play. It's not like they have an aging quarterback and no one behind him. They have a first-round pick that they traded up to the 2020 first round to go and get, who has now sat for 3 years and has finally, over the last season, shown some promise, shown some potential. Nobody has any idea if Jordan Love's going to be any good or not. They're not going to know. He's got to go through the same process as any young NFL quarterback. Can he learn from failure? Can he take his hard knocks and bounce back? He hasn't had that chance to do that, but Brian Gutekunst said absolutely Jordan Love is ready to get that chance. He's ready to play. That's the next step for him now, and he was awfully definitive on that. So if Aaron Rodgers wants to come back, it's not a no, but it's not a guaranteed yes either.
When you look at it also from the Packers side, Ryan Wood does a great job covering the Packers for USA Today. Why don't they just come out and say we're ready to move on at this point? Because that's what it feels like that they're ready to move on from.
I think around here, the memories are long, and it wasn't all that long ago, especially for Brian Gutekunst, who was with the organization during the summer of 2008. I think that there is a lot of diligent care whenever the divorce comes, whether it's this offseason, whether it's next offseason, whenever that time is, not to have a repeat of the Brett Favre saga. And so much of the situation already has hinges of that. The on again, off again, the every single year watchdog, what's going to happen, and just recycling it at the end of every season. I mean, all of that has a familiarity to what this franchise went through with Brett Favre. But the nastiness, the bitterness, the rift between the quarterback and the team and the rift in the fan base, most of all, is something that nobody around here wants to repeat. So I think everyone involved is going to be very delicate with this situation, whether it's this offseason or not, just because the memories are very long when it comes to what happened the last time a Hall of Fame franchise quarterback ended his time here in Green Bay.
So if they talk and they realize a split is the best course of action for both parties involved, do you think they'll like have a mutual statement, or will this just be the Packers that will have to say something first?
You know, that's a great question. That's something I've been wondering. How would the statement look? Like, how would the announcement look? I've wondered that in my head. Everything in sports now is mutually parted ways, right? And it never means that they mutually parted ways. Someone had to make a decision, then you're saving face for the other person. That's what mutually parted ways means. But this feels like it'd be a mutually parted ways announcement. It feels like there's a lot of care for the legacy that was. You know anything about the Green Bay Packers, they care about their history. And this is a big, huge part of their history, the Aaron Rodgers era. I mean, it's you know, Super Bowls in there, almost unprecedented run that since the 1960s. This is one of the highlights of their entire franchise. There's going to be a lot of care. So, yeah, this feels like a mutually parted ways type of decision coming.
The only thing that I'll say to that is if I was Rodgers, even if you want out and you get a sense that the Packers don't want you anymore on that team, I would make them be the one that come out and say, okay, we don't want Aaron anymore, because whatever people in the fan base that still wants me are then going to say, oh, well, they're driving Aaron Rodgers out of town, like one of the great quarterbacks.
There's no question it's going to be fascinating if it does happen, how Aaron Rodgers handles this. He has obviously, over the course of his career, spoken his mind, and at times can be, for lack of a better word, let's just say a bit of a petty sort of way.
Yeah.
He's shown that over the course of his career. Is that going to be the case or not if it happens this offseason? Well, he's really been clearing the road, really going back to late in the season when he said not once but twice he thinks it would be awfully egotistical of him to think that the Packers would want him back.
And when he goes on his buddy Pat McAfee show, and he said over and over again, there doesn't have to be a bad guy here. There doesn't have to be anger and animosity. There can be appreciation for what has been. From his side, he's been clearing the road for a graceful divorce, if that is the outcome this offseason. Now, you can prepare all you want for a divorce, but anyone that's gone through it knows that things can get dicey. Things can go different than how you prepare once you actually go through it. So that's what we don't know yet. But from a preparation standpoint, he's been trying to clear that path.
Talking to Ryan Wood about the Green Bay Packers, if Rodgers is back with the Pack, what are your expectations for them this year? Because this is a team that missed the playoffs. Like, that was the most jarring thing to me before the year, even though we expected some regression without Davante Adams. I thought they were a lock to win the division or bare minimum make the playoffs. You know how Rodgers views the Lions, even though they're up and coming. They're basically gum on the bottom of his cleat, and he lost to them twice in a situation with all the wrong that went on last year. They could have made the playoffs the final week of the season with the win. So if he's back, like, what could you even expect out of Green Bay next year?
This is where the rubber meets the road. And you haven't asked me yet what I would do if I'm not Brian Gutekunst. Thankfully, I'm not, because it's not an easy seat that he's sitting in. But the bottom line, they're not winning a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers next year.
And I trade him.
That happened. They don't have the roster to do it. And if you know that, and he's going into his age 40 season, you're not winning a Super Bowl. And again, you have a first-round pick behind him that you need to figure out. That's where it's time to get out of this, squeeze all the juice out of the lemon, all the title shot that you can out of this window, and start thinking about the next decade. If you know that you don't have the roster to do it, and they don't have the roster to go and win a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers, not unless he goes back and plays vintage, which, again, at this stage, and if you're not Tom Brady, you're not usually getting better when you go into your age 40 season. That's very historically against the grain of what happens. Father time is undefeated for everyone. So you put all those dots together, that's where the rubber meets the road. The expectation can't be, realistically, that they're going to go win a Super Bowl next year.
And even if he gets back to an MVP level, we just saw him win the MVP back-to-back years, go 13-3, 13-3, and have two exits before getting to the Super Bowl, one in the NFC title game and the other in the divisional round.
Both at home.
And it was the offense that let them down.
It used to be impossible for opponents to come into Lambeau Field in January and walk away with a win. The last three years, all right, because effectively last year's regular season finale, the play-in game, might not be a playoff game, but it's a play-in game, a game that you win and continue your season. The last 3 years, they have lost at home in that setting, in that situation, 3 years running. So you're absolutely right. Even if he plays better than he did last year, nothing is guaranteed.
And also, the offense let him down in the second half of both those games. Against Tampa Bay, Brady threw three interceptions. They did nothing with the football in that second half. And in the game up against the 49ers, I know he was going for Adams, but he had Alan Lazard wide open down the middle of the field.
You're absolutely right. Look, they had their defense against the 49ers did not give up a touchdown at home with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, and they lost the game. That does not happen, but it did. So that's the reality of what they're looking at. Is it's a tough road if you continue this way. Now, why would you go with Aaron Rodgers? And this goes against everything that I've heard in conversations. What I've heard in all the conversations I have, I understand that the Packers are very gung-ho about Jordan Love. They're excited. They've seen some flashes. He's had time to marinate, that time that he needed to have. He was not ready in 2020 to come in and set the NFL on fire. He needed to wait. He needed to develop. But there is excitement over his potential. Doesn't mean that he's going to be a franchise-caliber quarterback. They're not going to know that until he actually plays. But they've seen flashes. There is excitement about Jordan Love. With that said, he's not a known quantity. Aaron Rodgers is. You have an idea of what you're going to be getting out of Aaron Rodgers. He has a very large sample size in his career. That's the only, you know, if you want to play devil's advocate, that's the only real tangible reason that you've got, okay, at least you know what you're getting with Aaron Rodgers.
I know what we both think should happen. We're both clearly in the camp that he should get traded this offseason. What will happen? Like, if you had to put a percentage on it, the will that he'll get traded and the will that he'll be back with the Packers is what?
Man, if I knew what was going to happen, I'd take those odds at Vegas right now. It feels, I wouldn't say coin flip, because I do think at the end of the day, I think that logic prevails. And there's just too many reasons now to start another chapter, to turn the page. What's the oldest adage in the NFL? It's better to get to move on from a player a year too early than a year too late. Again, you look at history, they might already be late. Do you really want to delay that another year? I think logic prevails, but I've had plenty of conversations this offseason. People that are around the organization, know the organization very well, that have real doubts whether or not Brian Gutekunst would pull the trade. That goes against the grain of what seems logical, but I don't think that it's a done deal that he's getting traded at this point. There's just too much smoke for a potential that he could return for 2023 to think that it's 100%. I do think at the end of the day, though, that it's the logical thing. This is the time to turn the page.
That's fascinating, because Gutekunst had the cojones to trade up in the draft to go draft Jordan Love eventually to replace Rodgers, but he may have some skepticism on if the timing is right now. The timing is absolutely right.
He had the forward thinking, the forward thought to make the trade of to draft Jordan Love. It would almost be irrational to stop having forward thinking now. If you're going to have the forward thinking then, you'd continue with that reasoning. But we'll see. Again, Aaron Rodgers is a known quantity in this league. And what did general managers and coaches especially think about the next season? That is always first and foremost in their purview. Brian Gutekunst said it as soon as the season ended in the exit interview. Who gives you a better chance to win in 2023? Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love. Unequivocally, he said Aaron Rodgers, without hesitation. And he's probably right, because Aaron Rodgers inherited a 13-3 team in 2007 that was coming off an NFC Championship game appearance in Lambeau Field. They lost that game to the Giants, but that's a good team. His first year as a starter, 2008, he was 6-10. It took 29 games into Aaron Rodgers' career to have a winning record as a quarterback. The Packers aren't winning with Jordan Love next year either. It's going to be a transitional year, and Brian Gutekunst admitted as much today. So from a known quantity standpoint, who gives you a better chance to win? If that's your emphasis, it's 2023. It just seems like that would be such a mistake to put all your eggs in one basket that's probably not getting to the Super Bowl, instead of thinking of the entire decade that's coming up next.
Last thing I'll ask you, Ryan, but I only got a minute left. Is there any chance he retires here? And we're both wrong. It's not a trade, or it's not coming back to Green Bay. Is retirement on the table?
I won't be surprised if he gets traded. I won't be surprised if he comes back to the Packers. I will be shocked. I will fall over it completely unconscious if he actually retires. He's getting paid $60 million to play football next season.
Would be Rodgers like, though, to do the unconventional thing?
I mean, who does that? Who does that? Whatever you hate most in life, if someone was to say, do that, and I'll pay you $60 million.
Sign me up.
I think most of us would, that'd be an easy call, right?
Yeah.
This isn't something that he hates. He's done this for 18 years. Just do it another year. You get $60 million. I would be shocked if he retires.
Make sure you follow him on Twitter at by Ryan Wood. He does a great job covering the Packers for USA Today. Ryan, appreciate the time.
All right. Take care.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. The boss bringing us back from break, Bruce Springsteen. I have now secured tickets to a third Bruce Springsteen show, Hickey. So the Zach Gelb Bruce Springsteen tour with the E Street Band does continue. I have tickets coming up in April. That is at UBS, which I always want to say USB, and I call it the flash drive. I very rarely get UBS right the first time without having to pause like I just did. Then I will be going in August, which I just bought today, at Citizens Bank Ballpark in South Philadelphia. And then coming up Labor Day weekend, I will be seeing him at MetLife Stadium. And I'm just trying to go to Madison Square Garden. But like right now, those tickets are absurd. I think I'll eventually pull the trigger, but I'm trying to see if I could get in for a little bit cheaper. Like right now, they want $600 for tickets to get into MSG, which is a lot of money for a concert when I'm going to see the Boss in action three other times coming up this summer.
I am not a huge concert goer, so I'm more asking this question. Possibly seeing him four times, is that a little overkill?
It is a lot, but...
Like, is the shows any different?
Usually, I would 100% agree with you. I wonder, though, how many more years Bruce Springsteen is going to tour. Like, 6-7 years ago when he was touring, the shows used to be almost 4 hours long. Now they're only 2 hours and 45 minutes, 3 hours, so it's still a pretty damn long show. But I just wonder, you know, this guy is 73 years old. He turned 74 in September. You wonder how many more times he'd go. And it's a fun activity. Like, for example, I'm going with my dad to one show. Then I'm going with my dad and my mom, with my mom for another show. And then one of my dad's best friends. So it's like we're going, even though my dad's the same person here, we're bringing different people along for the other two shows. But at the Garden, I've never seen him at the Garden. And in Philadelphia, like, it's always great wherever you go. But in Philadelphia, that was the best I've ever seen him, where he did 4 hours. It was incredible. Played everything you could have ever asked for. At the Garden, I just feel like it's different. That is the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden. So that's why I'm inclined to go to MSG to see him. I would say, like, let's say if there's 30 songs on the set list, probably like 24 of the songs will be the same. And then there would be... like 5 or 6 that would be different, because he does take some signs. Like if you bring a sign to a concert in years past and you're holding up a sign, then he'll play your song, and that's kind of impromptu as well, to answer your question.
So it's basically, for the most part, 75% roughly.
Yeah, I would say
same concert. Is it like one album he's promoting or pushing, or do you know?
Well, he has a new album that is out. He'll play a few songs off that, like Night Shift, and Don't Play That Song, ironically, where then he plays the song. And I think there's like one other song that he's promoting. But pretty much when you're 73, 74, and he still puts out new music, people want to hear Rosalita, Thunder Road, Born to Run, Glory Days, which he plays at every show. I would love to get, that's a thing, Jungle Land. He has not played it a lot on this tour. They talk about Madison Square Garden in that song. The Rangers had a homecoming. So in Harlem late last night. I would think that he would play that at Madison Square Garden, I would imagine.
I've been to one Billy Joel, one Bruce Springsteen concert.
Oh, yeah?
Played the River album. Not great.
Well, hold on. First off, you're not a big concert guy, so I don't really value your opinion. You went on the River tour?
Yes, he came to Penn State. Uh-oh. You and my friends went.
Gotcha.
The River album. No, the show, the hits that he did, like the last 5 or 6 songs were the hits. Great time. River.
It's not a terrible scouting report.
It's, you know, it was a little tough. And like you said, this was about 7 years ago. He's still playing a long time. Part of it's on me for not really listening to the River album and not really liking it. But
you get I'm a Rocker and Out in the Street.
It's a long concert when there's a lot of songs that are just...
Well, also, you're not a huge Springsteen fan.
Outside of the hits. I was there for the hits. Play the hits.
Mm-hmm. So
play the songs people want to hear.
That's fine. We'll move past that comment. That's fine. But, like, for example, a friend of mine sent me an article because, you know, we talk about what the prices are here in the Northeast. Like, 5 hours before a show in Tulsa where he was playing, and I watched it on YouTube, and it looked like it was a pretty damn good concert. Like, I'll watch a lot of those concerts where he's going now and watch it on YouTube, whatever, like 30 minutes or so that they put up. The tickets in Tulsa, like, 5 or 6 hours before the show I was reading, got down to, like, $6. Like, dirt cheap. And my friend is a big concert goer. He goes, yeah, it's crazy when you get outside of the Northeast, just how, like, all concerts can be expensive, but if you wait, they go down to a pretty low cost. Like, I was stunned by that.
Tulsa, geez. Not big Bruce fans.
The place was packed. That was the thing.
Interesting.
Yeah, so. I don't know if it was during the week or something like that. Who knows? So.
Well, yeah. if you want to go see another tour, is he going to Tulsa this year? You can get a cheap ticket there. Basically, go for free.
Yeah. I think I would. Now, I'm sure I don't want to offend any of our affiliates right now.
You're going to pass on that?
I think I want a little bit more of a desirable location. Like, he plays in Chicago on my birthday. I'm not going, but if I was, that's where I would go.
He just was in Austin, I think, recently.
Chris Christie. I heard him on WFAN. who's like a huge Springsteen fan, which I would pay to actually see that big guy dancing around at a concert. That would actually be a good sight to see, or maybe a scary sight to see. He says Barcelona is the best place to see Bruce Springsteen.
Wow.
Bad timing on my end, because I'm going to Barcelona tomorrow, and I'm not going to be here Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and I'll be back on Monday. It's the U.S. tour, though, right now, so he's not going to Barcelona yet.
Do you know when he's going back? Like, that would have been, at least it's not like next week or 2 weeks from now. It's a few months.
I think it's at some point after, I think this U.S. tour, it stops in April, and then like May and June, and maybe part of July. Don't quote me on this. He's in like Ireland, Barcelona, a bunch of different places. Then he comes back and wraps it up with the U.S. stadium tour, like outside.
Good for him. That's crazy.
There you go. All right. So we'll get past Hickey pulling a Spike Eskin and crapping on the boss. Two guys that I work with that really don't know much about music. Zach Kelp Show, CBS Sports Radio.